By the Way is a new radio show hosted by Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico. This show will keep listeners up to date on educational topics such as lifelong learning strategies and educational technology. By the Way is hosted by an expert in the field and is a perfect show for those who are passionate about learning and exploring new ideas. Join us for in-depth discussions, insightful interviews, and practical tips that will help you stay up to date with the latest educational trends.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Rio Doso. And good morning. It is 8:06, and here's your host for By the Way, Miss Dr. Michelle Perry.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning. How are you today, Michael?
Me and Andreen having a good time.
Well, there it is. Good to know it's progress as usual.
Yeah, you know me. So.
Well, I have a special guest today, and I'm really excited to have her on. This particular guest of mine came to my office when I first opened Learn New Mexico, my business. And she said, hey, I'm interested in this job that you have of educational technologist. And I was very delighted that she was interested, because not only was she enthusiastic about the work, but she's a genius and so left-brained that complements my flighty right brain. But this is lovely Alisa Myers with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
So Alisa is, you know, in with me every day. We are always cooking and rocking and rolling. But this morning, I'm showcasing her amazing insights, and I want to talk to her about education, as it were, in her life and experience, and then, of course, the things that she looks forward to with the company and kind of how she sees the landscape. So talk to us a little bit first, Alisa, about your own education, as it were, and your experiences in education in all ways.
Okay, well, we'll start at the beginning. That's always the place, right? I went to school like everyone else, and I was probably, like most people, not incredibly excited about learning, even in college, where I majored in math and computer science. I approached education as, I got to get this done. It is the means to an end. I got to be able to support myself. You know, I didn't look at it as, oh, I want to learn about these things. It just wasn't ever put to me as something. It was like, you need the end result. You need a degree. You need a job. Mm-hmm. And now, as an adult, I see education as what we all do every day, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, lifelong learning.
We're learning. Mm-hmm. We're learning how to do better, or we're learning how to do worse, but we're always learning. And so if we take a more active role in our learning, we can use that to keep growing and doing better through our lives, not just in school.
So that's like your philosophical stance about education, then.
I think it's your philosophical stance. We talk a lot all the time. Lifelong learners. We are all lifelong learners.
And so, yeah, the idea that we have this contrived K-12 education system in which you progress through to skills of mastery, to level, and you scale, up, toward an end goal. And that end goal, you know, you turn 18 years old, and then the world says to you, all right, time for
you're
you to
done.
Go. You know, we tend to want to look, I mean, you and I, when I say we tend to want to look at education through a different lens, in that it's part of the journey, and then the part of that journey is to be enjoyed. And that,
right, it's not a task.
There it is, you know. And so, like, the work that we do in technology and consulting and things like that, you know, that's kind of been our messaging, is that there are ways to approach our learning, and we should have an innate desire to continue to learn, that should drive us and propel us. And talk to me, like, you have this great philosophy about, like, if I don't know it, I'll figure it out. Talk to me about how that works in your life. Like, give me an example.
So And I think that's one of the, you know, we can always talk about the downsides of technology. And there are some downsides to technology. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Pollyanna. Everything's great. However, more than ever before, we have the ability using technology to learn whatever we want to learn. And it is literally made easy and possible for us and keeps getting easier and more possible all the time. Now, you got to want it, but an example is, and this is a dummy example, but my ice maker broke a year ago. And before, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if your ice maker breaks, you either say, well, okay, guys, we're not going to have ice anymore because that's just, you know, the refrigerator still works, but we don't have an ice maker. But you can literally go on the internet and find people who have graciously put out a video or an article that says, hey, if your ice maker breaks, this is how you fix it.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
Fantastic. Right. I have a son, as you know, he's in engineering school and he's in these higher math classes. And sometimes there's a problem and he doesn't really understand it. He can literally go on the internet and find five brilliant people who will describe to him in different ways. You know, one is going to be accessible, how to solve that problem. And I just think that's magic.
You know, the technology revolutions, as they were, you know, we had the Industrial Revolution at the turn of the century in the 1900s. And now, of course, we've iterated like probably three technology revolutions. And so we're about to turn the corner on the fourth, this fourth revolution that includes AI.
AI, exactly.
And, you and I talk a lot about, you know, the theoretical business of how AI plays into that educational setting. So talk to me about, like, how your thoughts are around AI and what it can do to promote our educational endeavors.
Well, we obviously, Michelle and I talk about this because it matters to us, and we want to be the best couriers of bringing technology to change education, and not even change as much as improve education, but we talk about it a lot as a tool. We talk about virtual reality is not going to replace teachers. It's not going to replace education, but virtual reality is a tool that can help teachers not only make their job easier in some ways, but also make learning more meaningful, which has to be our goal all the time.
There it is.
Because we're lifelong learners, but if people don't see the meaning behind it, they will not embrace it. Because learning is also change, and change is stressful. It's stressful for all of us. We talk about, you know, great life events being stressors. The reason great life events, you know, marriage, birth of a child, death, moving, all of those things are stressors because they're change.
Yeah.
And whenever we learn something, we're changing.
Yeah, changing our paradigms.
And changing, even for the better, can cause stress. So we've got to make people understand that stress of change is worth the payoff.
And you mentioned VR, and, you know, when we talk about VR and AI and, you know, all these acronyms, so virtual reality and artificial intelligence have just recently merged. And so you and I've been in the VR business now for a few years, and so we've, you know, been educating people. I mean, we did like a huge effort at
educating ourselves.
Yes. and those around us, you know, just what are the benefits of virtual reality, especially when it comes to motivating learners,
right?
And that being a tool of engagement, making learning relevant and emotionally engaging. But then just recently AI has now crossed paths with VR, and now we have this beautiful situation where I can go into VR and talk to an AI person who is channeling from you know, open AI information. And so yesterday we were at an amazing conference, and we went to Clovis, and we got to visit with a ton of students.
Young people, I highly recommend it. Be around young people, because
for sure
they're not like us.
They were so interested in what we were demonstrating. We were showing the benefits of VR, and of course with that came some examples of how AI is used in VR. And so anyway, they swarmed around our booth, and they all wanted to see. And of course we were casting, you know, the VR headset, and they all were watching, and then they all wanted to turn, and they were intrigued, and then they came to our presentation, and they learned about the educational applications of VR, and we talked to them and gave them examples about what that could look like.
Right, and how, whether they wanted a career in virtual reality, because there's going to be a lot of careers in virtual reality, or whether the career path that they've chosen can utilize virtual reality, all of the gamut of it. And that was really interesting.
And we showed them some relevant applications. And
right.
So, yeah, I mean, we went on this particular platform, and we use a product called Victory XR to promote our educational content. And so not that you couldn't get educational content elsewhere, but it's nice that it's all together in one package.
It's in a very accessible, because once again, this is a change, and if we make it accessible for people, then they don't get the overwhelming feeling of this is too hard.
Right.
This is too much.
And so we were showing them this, right?
Right.
And then we demonstrated Harper Lee. Harper Lee is the author of To Kill a Mockingbird. And so I asked the students in the room, there were about 40, 50 of them, and I said, how many of you, and they were from the ages of 16 to 22-ish. And I said, how many of you have read To Kill a Mockingbird? Everybody's hands went up.
Most kids have read that.
Yeah. Right. And so, because that's a standard, you know, it's canon literature. And so
it's an American classic.
Yeah. Yes. So we teach that usually, you know, around the grades of 7th, 8th, 9th grade. And so anyway, hands went up. And so they were very, and so I was like, okay, now watch this. This is, now meet, you know, Harper Lee.
Right.
And so we showed them, you know, from the platform, the VR platform, that they could interact and ask Harper Lee any question in virtual reality from the Monroe County Courthouse.
Which is that I love that you mentioned it was from the courthouse, because I think as humans, things aren't real to us until they're real for us. It's why people change their minds on things when they've really experienced a situation. You might have an opinion about something, but then when it happens to you, you change your mind. That's the beauty of virtual reality, is that it makes things real that otherwise were a little oblique.
Yeah. And so we were able to say, all right, here you are. You're an avatar in this county courthouse. And then here's the avatar of Harper Lee.
Right.
And now just ask a question. And so there was questions like, you know, well, how did you come up with the character Scout Finch?
Right. What did she represent to you? And they are using her actual words, her actual, and so all of a sudden Harper Lee becomes a real person as opposed to an idea.
Yeah.
And obviously the further we go in time, one of the beauties of VR is that we can capture and keep alive people who are important to us.
Right.
As a civilization, as a society, people and ideas that are important to keep alive.
And I love all of that. I love everything from the theory of this keeping our historic figures alive and real.
Right.
I love that, all the way to the programming, the data processing and programming that has to happen on the back end of all that to make that happen.
Data?
And so that is your specialty.
That just appeals to me.
Very.
Because I'm a numbers person and a data person, because although we talk a lot about how numbers and data can't drive everything, it's important to understand numbers and data and history so we can be better and better. Mm-hmm. That's always the goal. We want to be better individually, collectively, as a society. We want to just get better.
And so that back end of developing AI, as it were,
right,
the massive amount of data that holds.
Right.
And it's continually, for instance, OpenAI, ChatGPT, that's a language learning model. And so what it's doing is taking everything that's language-based and is scraping it together. And it's just going on and on and on through everything that's flying around in the Netherlands of the Ethernet and the Internet. All that data is getting scraped.
Right.
And it's hard to even imagine, how that all works on the back end. But as a data scientist, you see it, and then you see the front end and what comes out.
Right. And I think the caution about AI is that a lot of people, and there are, of course, going to be downsides to AI. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a downside to a garage door opener.
Yeah.
I love garage door openers because they make our life easy. But a lot of the times we've gotten so far away from doing kind of our own work, there's downsides to that.
Yeah.
We don't get enough exercise. We have a lot of health problems related to all of these conveniences that we have. So always when we approach a new technology and invention, we've got to approach it with conscious acceptance.
There it is, yeah.
And that is, gee, this is great, but I'm not going to use it in this way, or I'm not going to use it in that way. And also an awareness that some people may try to use a technology in a way that's not healthy. But mm-hmm. if we're conscious, mm-hmm. AI has all of these benefits. And I'm going to give you an example. Mm-hmm. AI is going to give you information, but mm-hmm. you've got to use your brain.
Yep.
When you sift through that information to say, now, wait a minute, is this true? Is this accurate?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a challenge, but what a great tool to get us started. I talked to two young men about the blank page problem, and that is we approach a problem and we have a blank page. And have you been there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's overwhelming.
I've got to start on this problem. And I just have this blank page and I don't know how to start. And I think this overwhelms learners.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they aren't smart enough to do it. Not that they don't have creative ideas, but they're starting with that blank page. That is a beautiful spot for AI to say, let me get you started.
Right. Yeah. So you were talking to these couple kids. I overheard you talking to them about coding.
Right.
Because that's your life. And so you're very familiar with how coding works. And they were like talking about how, difficult it is to come up with your own
code. The blank page.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can say to AI, hey, get me started. This is kind of where I'm wanting to go. And it gets you started. And then we can get to that flow,
yeah,
which is where our minds are engaged in our work and we're able to create, which, by the way, AI's not creating.
Right. It's scraping.
AI's not creating.
It's not creating. That's an important
thing. AI's showing you what has been created, mm-hmm. which is the magic of it, because mm-hmm. We have a small view, and it gives us a bigger view.
Yes. And when we're talking about adapting our style of learning or our approach to learning, our philosophy of learning, whatever that is, when we're adapting in the new technological age, this next revolution, that's a real mind bender for a lot of people. And I don't know how many times we heard kids say yesterday, so is this VR and AI stuff going to take over teaching?
Is it going to take over the world?
Yes.
Are we going to have students lined up in classrooms and headsets and they'll just be there like zombies plugged in by the ear? It's not the intention. It's not the track. It wouldn't work because, by the way, the great thing about kids is they're smarter than us and they have an infinite amount more energy than we have.
They will
not accept that.
That is
and
not true.
I think we see that in kids right mm-hmm. now, sometimes as a response to how, and I just want to caution and say, I am an advocate for public schools, teachers who do some of the best and hardest work we have. But a tiny criticism is that schools have been very, very slow to move into the technological age, into what is coming next, because they're a big entity, and big entities generally do not move quickly.
Absolutely. And so we get on calls with all kinds of cool people, companies, CEOs of companies who invite us all together, like in a think
innovators.
Tank. Innovators. And so we're seeing across the nation, you know, California to New York, we're seeing these companies start to really gain ground on equipping classrooms with
virtual reality. Yes.
And it's like something that we've been trying to educate our entire community and our entire state for almost 3 years now, and it's finally like all colliding and everybody's finally going, it doesn't have to be so hard. This isn't out of our reach.
Right.
This isn't cost prohibitive.
Right.
You know, and let's be smart about it. And by the way, let's get our educators developed in a way that they can use this appropriately in the ways that our students need it to be.
Right. And our students do need it.
Yes.
And they are, you know, they're the generation behind that sees a future that we won't even be in. They're going to live in a future that we won't have. But I do want to say, I just want to take time to talk about with you how schools desperately need to equip kids to use virtual reality.
Right.
Use it responsibly. Use it as the tool it is, not as a crutch.
Or a
it's
game.
Not a crutch or a game or a tool or a replacement.
A replacement.
It, that's not what it is. However, it's almost like, you know, 20 years ago when we decided, kids are going to need to learn how to use a computer.
Yep.
That, you know, there was a famous engineer who came out of MIT who said, I don't know why anybody would need a personal computer. And of course, he's lived to regret that statement.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he chuckles about
50
it.
50 years later.
And he says, oh, that was kind of out of context. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is virtual reality is something our kids are going to need to understand how to use. And they're at a place where they can learn how to use it effectively and positively if we guide them through that.
And the kids aren't the ones that are afraid
or
apprehensive or nervous.
They love it.
And so, like, we watched it time and time and time again yesterday. The adults would come over and just kind of give a wary eye about what was going on there. And they all gathered around our booth. We were
and
like,
the kids are like, let me in.
I'm next. And oh, this is no problem. And I'm like, oh, you got to hold the controller. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was so. I guess it was very rewarding.
Yeah.
Right?
But we got to meet them.
Yes.
The adults in the room have got to meet them to equip them for the future that they're going to live.
And that's just it, is that couldn't have ever imagined, you know, 50 years ago, we couldn't have ever imagined that we all carry around a very powerful computer in our pockets.
In our pockets.
We never could have imagined that.
Right.
And then you see the Ray-Ban Meta glasses now. And,
right.
And that's going to be the next iteration of these headset
right.
goggles. And so we just got to imagine the unimaginable,
right.
you know?
And by the way, we'll continue this conversation for days and weeks and months
years. Yes, we will. And so thank you, Alisa, for being on with
thank
me today.
Thank you for having me.
I so appreciate all that you do for our company and all that you do for our VR customers. You are an amazing technologist, and I appreciate all that you do for Learn New Mexico. And with that, if anybody has more questions or more information about virtual reality or educational practices as they were in modern day, go to learnnewmexico.com, and we hope to address any questions and concerns that you have. And with that, I will say goodbye.
By the Way is a new radio show hosted by Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico. This show will keep listeners up to date on educational topics such as lifelong learning strategies and educational technology. by the way, is hosted by an expert in the field and is a perfect show for those who are passionate about learning and exploring new ideas. Join us for in-depth discussions, insightful interviews, and practical tips that will help you stay up to date with the latest educational trends.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Ruidoso.